To start this session, I have some questions for you, sort of a silent questionnaire, just things I want you to think about. I want you to be very honest with yourself and think how you would answer the following. How good is your track record of character and conduct within the circle of people you know? So in other words, what kind of reputation do you have? Do you have a track record that inspires trust and confidence? Are you considered to be a person of your word? When you say you're going to do something, do you do it and do it within the time frame that you specify to someone? And I'd like to add to that, we have to include forgetting. I can't tell you how many times my wife has said to me before I left for work, pick up a gallon of milk on the way home. I come home, walk into the house, she says, where's the milk? I say, I forgot. It happens. Can people count on you? Would people vouch for you? We often judge people on the basis of their track record, don't we? The character they've displayed, the qualities they've shown, and the actions they've performed. We evaluate all of that, and then we determine if we're going to give them credence for what they say or whether or not we would use them for a particular thing. How is their track record and what does it say about them? Does this person deserve my trust? Do I have full confidence in this person? So that brings me to the question, what about God's track record? Aren't you thankful that God's track record is nothing like man's track record? According to God's word, there's no comparison between the two. So turn to Numbers 23. Numbers 23 and verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Now, I don't know how you did on my questionnaire. Maybe you did pretty good. Maybe you were subpar. Maybe you were somewhere in the middle. But a spotless track record? Only God can claim that. Turn to Psalm 18. And let's look at verse 30. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. So think about that for a moment. God's way doesn't have any flaws. There are no imperfections. There's nothing you can point at and say, it's off base, it's immoral, it's faulty. Now compare that with people. I do recruiting for a living. I place people in jobs. And I have to tell you, when you're reading a resume, you always have to take it with a grain of salt. And why is that? Because some people lie on their resumes. They fabricate their accomplishments, hoping it will entice a prospective employer to hire them. Sales reps are notorious for inflating their sales numbers so that they can get hired. But you don't need to worry about fabrications when you're reading about God's accomplishments in the Bible. So turn to Psalm 105. This psalm is a song of history written by David and given by him to Asaph and the other singers. I thought it would be good to read this responsively because it puts in a very powerful way some of God's track record on display. So I'm going to start us off. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people.
Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works.
Glory ye in his holy name, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. And here's a key word, remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. He is the Lord our God, his judgments are in all the earth. Which covenant he made with Abraham, and his oath unto Isaac,
and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant,
saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance. When they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people.
He suffered no man to do them wrong, yea, he reproved kings for their sakes.
Saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant.
Whose seed they were with fetters, he was laid in iron.
Until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him.
The king himself then loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free.
He made him lord of his house, and ruler of all his substance.
Divide his princes at his pleasure, and teach his senators wisdom.
Israel also came into Egypt, and Jacob sojourned in the land of Ham.
And he increased his people greatly, and made them stronger than their enemies.
He turned their heart to hate his people, to deal subtly with his servants. They showed his signs among them and wonders in the land of Ham.
He sent darkness and made it dark, and they rebelled not against his word.
He turned their waters into blood and slew their fish.
Their land brought forth flocks in abundance, in the chambers of their kings.
He spake, and there came down diverse sorts of flies and lice in all their coast.
He gave them hail for rain and flaming fire in their land.
He smote their vines also, and their fig trees, and brake the trees of their coast. And did eat up all the herbs in their land, and devoured the fruit of their ground.
He smote also all the firstborn in their land, the chief of all their strength.
He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. He spread a cloud for a covering, and fire to give light in the night.
The people asked, and he brought quails, and satisfied them with the bread of heaven.
He opened the rock, and the waters gushed out. They ran in the dry places like a river.
For he remembered his holy promise, and Abraham his servant.
And he brought forth his people with joy, and his chosen with gladness. That they might observe his statutes and keep his laws, praise ye the Lord. When I read a section of God's word like this, with a listing of how God's hand moved to care for Israel, preserve, deliver, lead, I am moved. I'm in awe. It bolsters my faith. The Lord said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, and that's very small, you can move a mountain. Yet the Lord wants more for us. He wants our faith to grow. Let's look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Let's go to verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly in the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. God wants our faith to grow. God is so trustworthy. We should always have full confidence in him. So Psalm 105 listed some of God's accomplishments. What I'd like to do now is look at some of God's attributes. We've already read that God does not lie. It's impossible for God to lie. And if he does not lie, then he must be what? True. Turn to Isaiah 65. And let's slide down to verse 16. It says that he who blesseth himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth. And he that sweareth in the earth shall swear by the God of truth, because the former troubles are forgotten, and because they are hid from mine eyes. Who are we trusting in? Who are we putting our faith in? The one in whom there is nothing false, nothing shifty, nothing phony, nothing deceitful. He is reality. His very nature is truth. Let's look at John in chapter 17. And I'm going to read verse 3. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Let's go to 1 John and chapter 5. And I'm going to go down to verse 20. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. God is true. Then there's his immutability. The same consistent character, which is unaffected by time or circumstances. How different is man? So think about that. People can change their minds. People can change their personality. Their political views can shift. Their beliefs, their whole belief system can change. People go through phases like a midlife crisis and start acting irrationally, especially men that are around 40. What about their habits? Their patterns of behavior are subject to variation. Can't be counted on. There's no consistency. Now, God, in sharp contrast, often refers to himself as the rock. You think of a rock, you think of stability, the one who can't be shaken. My salvation, your salvation, is based upon the true God who does not shift, who cannot be moved, and is eternally steadfast. That's what I want for the anchor of my soul. Turn to Psalm 102. And I'm going to read verses 25 to 27. Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. All of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. Turn to Malachi. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. No change. Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13 and verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. You see how bankable that is? Do you see how steady that is? Do you see how consistent that is? The anchor of our soul does not change. Go to James 1 and verse 17, and we'll reinforce that thought again. Every good and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God is true. God does not change. And what about his holiness? God is holy. He is not like you or me. He's completely set apart from anything that is sinful or evil. He's totally morally pure. He's the standard for everything pure and good and right. Let's turn to Exodus 15. Exodus 15 and verse 11. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Let's look at Isaiah in chapter 57. Let's look at verse 15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Let's go to the book of Revelation in chapter 15. And I'm going to look at verse 4. No, actually, I'll start in verse 3. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. Finally, one more verse. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And verse 21. Talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, for he hath made him, God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And God is just. We just read that in Revelation. He always does the right thing. He's completely fair in his dealings. Go to Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32. I'm going to go to verse 4. He, God, is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. Psalm 89 and verse 14. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. See, so many of these attributes that we're seeing, I may be saying, you know, we're following just or we're following true, but you're seeing an overlap. So you're seeing true and just in the same verse. It's just amazing, as the more you turn the pages of the scripture, how God just keeps confirming who he is, his character, his attributes, over and over again. We learn by repetition. I really believe that. You think of, you know, when you were learning like the multiplication tables over and over and over, how many times did you have to do it before you finally got it? And now, as an adult, it's amazing how you can still, just like that, you know, if I gave you, you know, 10 times 9, and you could give me the answer, just like that, because you got it in your head, you heard it over and over and over. So, I know sometimes, you know, especially when I'm giving a message, especially a long message, you think about, well, I want to make sure I am able to go for 45 minutes or go for 50 minutes, what it is. And I think for me, it's just so wonderful to be able to say, there's unlimited verses that you could put down so that you can accommodate that time frame. We just need to keep turning the pages of God's word. Let's go to Isaiah 9. Isaiah 9 and verse 7. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Now, the best example of God's justice, Calvary. When Christ sacrificed himself on the cross, justice was done. The wrath of a holy God was satisfied. Punishment for sin was meted out. And sinners who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as their substitute can be saved. Romans chapter 3. Verse We're going to read verses 24 through 26. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. God is true. God doesn't change. God is just. God is sovereign. He's the supreme and everlasting ruler. There is nobody higher or of greater authority. He's in control, and nothing is coming my way without his consent. And I'm trusting in the love and goodness of a great God who is true and holy and just and can work all things out together for good in my life. Turn to 1 Chronicles 29. And I'm going to read verses 10 through 12. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, "Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all." 2 Chronicles. Second Chronicles 20. And we're going to look at verses 5 and 6. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court, and said, "O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee?" Isaiah 46. And verses 9 and 10. "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." And our God is omniscient. He is all-knowing. Nobody knows you like God knows you. He knows everything about you. The good, the bad, the ugly, every sinful thought we've ever had or sinful action we've ever taken, God knows all about it. And yet, he still loves me. He still loves you. We may be able to hide some things we don't want known from people, but we can't hide things from God. And God cares about every detail of my life and your life. Your hurt, your heartache, your despair. He knows your thoughts even before you think them. Go to Psalm 139. Let's read verses 1 to 4. You know what? Actually, why don't we read this together? O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought far off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Move ahead, Psalm 147. Psalm 147 and verse 5. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. And 1 John chapter 3. In verse 20, for if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. You know, you're either in the midst of a trial or one is coming. That's just life. One or the other. Trials, testings, and tribulations, when not handled rightly in God's strength, have a way of wearing us out, of draining us. And instead of trusting God, we let worry work its way in, or fear pays a visit and takes a seat for a while. Instead of casting our cares on the one who cares for us, we carry our cares on our shoulders and they weigh us down. And that hinders our walk with the Lord greatly. So go back to thinking about your own track record for a moment. And again, ask yourself a question. What kind of track record am I compiling before family, friends, fellow saints, and the people I run across in my daily life? And ask yourself another question. Am I letting the Lord do a work in my heart so I'm building upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, things of great eternal value? Or am I dwelling on my problems and my difficulties, my faults and my failings? So a reminder to us from Matthew 6. Matthew chapter 6. And I'm going to go down to verse 27. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? I don't know why we're so fond of worry, but boy, we are. And yet worry is not going to do one thing for you. Turn to Proverbs 12. And verse 25. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. You really need good words. Where do you find good words? In God's word. We need to stay in the scriptures. You know, you're always told as a child, don't trust a stranger. Sometimes we let God become a stranger to us. He's always there, but we can drift off. We trust God less when we start skipping our time with the Lord. Don't let days go by without cuddling with the Lord and huddling with his word. Intimacy is what God wants, and intimacy is what you need. If you get off track, get back on track quickly. Remember who we are looking to, a great God who has an unblemished track record. He's never going to let us down. It's absolutely guaranteed. You can bank on it. It's an absolute certainty. You just need to stay connected. Just be a good branch and stay attached to what kind of vine? What kind of vine? A true vine, right? Keep moving forward by looking behind you. See what has been. Let memory enable faith. Let memory aid faith. God tells us over and over in his word to remember, remember. It helps to build our faith. It helps us to fix things. It helps us to get our thinking right. Go to Psalm 77. Psalm 77, verses 10 to 12. And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of all thy doings. Think of the most important of all God's work, the pinnacle of his track record, the work of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. We're instructed in 1 Corinthians 11 and verses 23 to 25. We need to have communion. 1 Corinthians 11. And I'm going to read verses 23 to 25. For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, just lost my place here. He broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. We need to rehearse the pages of our own life and note how God has come through countless times. Think of what it says in the hymn. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, because he's not going to lie, just to rest upon his promise, because he's not going to change. We know he's going to keep it. Just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. How I've proved him o'er and o'er. What are we back to? The infallible track record of God. It should inspire you. It should inspire you to trust the Lord with all of your heart, to commit everything that is taking place in your life to him. It should inspire you to place full confidence in him for every moment you live until the day you die or the Lord comes to rapture you. The next time you're tempted to doubt God, and I mean this seriously, like Pastor says, having a good talk to yourself, get out your boxing gloves. I mean, don't just keel to Satan's ploy. Show some fight. You're supposed to be fighting the good fight of faith, right? So catch yourself before you run off course, before you get knocked down. God will be faithful to strengthen you when you do this. Think about this. There are never any what ifs with God. Never, ever. What if God only kept his word once in a while? What if God was reliable only occasionally? What if God went back on his promises? What if God forgot what he said? Has God ever failed you? Will he ever fail you? He's true, he's unchangeable, he's holy, he's just, he's sovereign, he knows everything, his love for you is incomprehensible, and his track record is untouchable. It stands alone. Encourage your heart. Keep beholding the glory of the Lord. You'll be changed into the same image from glory to glory. And you can be sure, if that's happening, your own track record is going to get better and better and better.